this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyar, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and known in some parts as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Does Bob ever use that tagline anymore? He's pretty much...
Not so much.
Pretty much doing just the pastor of Denver Bible Church, which is true. So, Bob is off in sunny Southern California. Am I allowed to say that, or is he at an undisclosed location? I believe he was at San Juan Capistrano yesterday. Sent some pictures, yes, the swallows and all of that. Yeah, lovely, lovely part of the country. We wish Bob and Cheryl the best out there. And I want to thank Bob for allowing me to sit in the KGov studios. I'm Doug McBurney, by the way, the host of the Weekly Worldview online. Easy to find. Just Google Doug McBurney. Yeah, and you'll find me online. So can I make an observation? I want to make an observation. If someone tells you that they're a prophet or that they ever were a SEAL, don't believe them in either case. Not true. I was told on Sunday by a man that he was a prophet. I was gathering signatures for personhood, and this was a good fella. He signed the personhood petition. This is a pro-life good guy. But he pulled me aside and he said, "Listen, I've been given a message. I'm a prophet." I said, "Okay." He said, "What you're doing is going to cause you to be thrown into situations that are going to be confrontational, and people are going to try to intimidate you. People are going to say nasty things to you." He said, "But I've got a message for you. Don't give up and don't get scared, because God is with you. God has anointed you to do just this thing." And I said, "God bless you, brother. You are a prophet." I said, "You know," and so we prayed together. And now I know why I'm obsessed with going out and collecting personhood signatures. It's because I've been anointed by God. And that's absolutely true. You don't have to be a prophet to figure that out, though, I don't think. Anyway, I had another guy. He's painting the house next door to mine. And I'm standing outside and I just said hello, just trying to be friendly. I don't want the guy's life story. I just want to be civil. He climbs down off the ladder and he says, "You know what? I was a Green Beret, and I've killed 300 men. And I said, "Oh, yeah? Gulp. Okay." Anyway, he went on to tell me his life story for about 25 minutes as I was late getting to work, because when a guy tells you he's killed 300 men, you're going to stand there and listen to his life story, whether you believe that he was ever a Navy SEAL or not. Anyway, I don't believe people who say that they were Green Beret or Special Ops or Navy SEALs, because people who really were those things, they generally don't tell other people that. And they certainly don't give you a body count. Well, that has nothing at all to do with anything at all to do with anything to do with this, what I'm doing here, Bob Enyart Live. But let me get back to personhood. Folks, the mail-in deadline for petitions is fast approaching. It's July 9th. So I need everyone to make a commitment to take upon them the anointing of God to go out and get signatures. Because as things look right now at the headquarters over at Personhood, Colorado, it looks like we could come up short. It looks a little scary right now as far as the signature count goes. So I know I'm redoubling my efforts. Can I tell you what I did? I went commando style. Well, I was physically removed from the Catholic Basilica. Physically removed by a police officer and a, I believe he called himself a Monsignor. Anyway, we were physically removed. So I was upset having my anointing and not being able to get signatures. So I told my wife and daughters, who were also physically removed by the Denver police and the Monsignor there at the big, 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 beautiful basilica. Have you seen this basilica? I mean, that's a church. Wow. I mean, you stand at the foot of that church and you look straight up at the spires and the whole thing. It's quite inspirational. But then when the priest and the cop come and throw you and your kids off, Now, he did say that I was welcome to be on the street, and I said, well, thank you, Commandant, for allowing me to be on the public sidewalk. But I was upset, so I just said, we're going to hit the first church I see, we're going. Anyway, at that church, we drove up. Every person who walked out of that church signed the petition, every registered voter. So anyway, commando style, I just decided, I'm going in. My wife was a little nervous. My kids, they don't know any better. They just had a great time. Except for my three-year-old, she was getting delusional with the heat. She was almost going to go into heat stroke. But the nice folks at Word Up Life Church, small black church just east of Cherry Creek North, they were kind enough to let us come into the air conditioning in their foyer, and they were very nice, restoring my faith once again in mankind and organized religion in general, which the Catholic leadership, I should say, pretty much destroyed. There were a couple of Catholic lay people with me as I was physically removed. Anyway, but folks, the deadline is approaching, and you don't have to be confrontational or go commando style. Just go to the public library. Stand in front of the public library for an hour. Bring an umbrella so that you don't burn to a crisp and turn into a cinder of carbon on the sidewalk. But just go to the public library. Go to the courthouse. Do you have to go to court? I find myself having to go to court quite often. And when I go to traffic court, there's often a lot of people standing in line. It's a great place to get signatures because it's a public place and they can't throw you off. But I'm serious, folks. Things are looking a little shaky as to the signature count. And I want to remind everyone that the potheads put marijuana legalization on the ballot this year. They've already gotten their job done. So, folks, if the body of Christ cannot keep up with the potheads, folks, that's not a good sign. So get out there, get some signatures. If you have a petition, whether it's full or not, mail it in today and ask for another one. There's an address right on the front of your petition. Mail it there, ask for another one, go get some more. We need to know how many signatures we have. I should say they need to know. I'm not officially a part of Personhood Colorado. In fact, I may be expelled this week for what I said to that Catholic priest. Anyway, all right, should we do some news? Should we take calls? No, we really don't have time to take calls. This is only a half-hour show, so we really don't have time to take calls. So don't bother. Put the phone down and just relax, okay? I know you have a lot of things to say, but I'm a professional. I've got everything well in hand. You can just relax and enjoy being entertained and educated. And you don't have to lift a finger or do anything. I'll take care of it, okay? Now, where do I start? You want me to start with a positive story or a negative story? I'm polling the studio audience. He says the positive story first. We've got three people, three votes. Do we want positive first or negative? We got one for positive, one for negative. All right. And the young man, he's the tiebreaker. We're going to go positive first. This is a story out of Miami. Pulled down by my producer, my other brother, Daryl, from CBS there in Miami. During her pregnancy, listen to this story. During her pregnancy, Tammy Gonzalez's doctors discovered a benign tumor the size of a tennis ball growing on her unviable tissue mass's mouth. Oh, I'm sorry, her unborn baby's mouth. I apologize. Sometimes you have to correct the way CBS. Yeah, that's right, an unviable tissue mass wouldn't have a mouth, would it? Anyways, we're going to say it's an unborn baby, seeing as it had a mouth. Had a detectable mouth. So anyway, as you can imagine, Tammy Gonzalez was quite disturbed by the tennis ball-sized tumor growing on her unborn baby's mouth. In May 2010, a doctor named Rubio Quintero, he's a specialist at the University of Miami Jackson Memorial Hospital. He's a fetal surgeon. A fetal surgeon, I said. Now that's pretty cool. Well, back in May of 2010, Dr. Quintero and Dr. Efticia Kontanopoulos operated on Tammy's baby in utero. Using an endoscope guided by ultrasound, they performed a first-of-its-kind surgery and removed the tumor from the unviable tissue mass's mouth. I'm sorry, from the fetus's mouth. We could even say baby if we wanted to really push. Yeah, they removed the tumor from the baby's mouth. The doctor says, quote, "This was an opportunity to expand the field we've developed to treat birth defects in utero. The surgery was performed in the 17th week of pregnancy." And in October 2010, Lena Michaela Gonzalez was born healthy, weighing 8 pounds, 1 ounce. The only sign of the surgery is a tiny scar on the little girl's mouth. The case was recently published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology as a first of its kind surgery. Pretty amazing. So this circles us back around to the issue of personhood, because I am convinced that there's an entire field of medical science that has been neglected. And that is the treatment of various illnesses and maladies in utero. And I believe that when personhood legislation passes and the culture and the society, we change our mind about respecting the life of every innocent person. I predicted this before, but I'm going to predict it again just in case you didn't hear it. I predict that when personhood passes within a decade, we will be able to take any unborn child at any stage of development and through technological means bring them from a single cell all the way to something resembling birth. And we won't lose, say, ectopic pregnancies. We'll be able to take the baby out of the fallopian tube, put him into some Jetson-like, fantastic technological pod, and we'll be able to bring that baby to birth. We'll be able to save babies that right now, an ectopic pregnancy is almost a 100% death sentence for the baby. But if the right to life was actually respected, an entire new field of science could develop, bringing babies, developing an artificial womb. We can do it. We could do it in a decade. But first, we have to establish the respect for unborn life. And so it's kind of sad to say that in the freest, most God-blessed planet, in the freest, most God-blessed country on the planet, we're at the point of just trying to establish the right to life of innocent people. It's a pretty sad state of affairs here in America. But that's an uplifting story. Congratulations to Dr. Quintero and Dr. Kontanopoulos. I'm very impressed. Yeah, and I hope they keep going and do more great stuff. All right, now back to reality. Let's go to Denver. In Denver City Park, there's a popular jazz festival type thing that goes on every evening. And it was going on Sunday evening. It's the City Park Jazz something. It doesn't really have a title in the story. But then again, with jazz, there's not supposed to be a lot of structure. So it's just the City Park Jazz thing that happens. So people were sitting there listening to jazz. It was about 114 degrees. And apparently a fight broke out. And a Denver police officer went to break up the fight just as the jazz music was ending. And she was shot in the head and later died at the hospital. At a late night news conference, this is according to the Denver Post. At a late night news conference, Mayor Michael Hancock asked for residents of Denver to give the police department their prayers and said the city mourns the loss of a single mother and a tremendous leader, referring to this unfortunate officer who was shot in the head. Hancock said Denver was still a safe city and that he wouldn't let a few people destroy summer events attended by thousands of people, including his wife and children. Kind of ironic that Mayor Hancock's wife was there, and apparently Governor Hickenlooper's wife had been there quite recently at this jazz confab. Talk about chickens coming home to roost. These are the governmental leaders in charge of the first line of defense against criminals and violence and mayhem. And the very event that their wives attend is disrupted by a murder, as a matter of fact. First violent fights. I watched this live on the news the other night, in the evening as things were occurring. There had been several fights all throughout the Jazz Fest, which is unusual for jazz because generally they're pretty mellow people. You know, a lot of them are sick. They have chronic illnesses, and so there were a lot of people taking their medicine there in the park. Did you know that Colorado has now become famous as the pothead capital of the world? And, of course, the potheads tell you that, you know, pot's mellow and it mellows everybody out. But in a city where the governing officials don't know right from wrong and they have no idea how to stop criminals from going ballistic, even the potheads are shooting and punching and kicking and stabbing and clubbing one another at a jazz festival. And now a Denver police officer has been killed. But Governor Hancock says, don't worry, Denver's still a safe city. What do you mean still a safe city? It hasn't been a safe city. I've lived here for 20 years. It hasn't been safe in 20 years. Mayor Hancock, I don't know what Denver you live in. Because I've never seen Denver as a safe city. He says, we will not surrender this city to anyone. Is everyone inspired, right? Now we have no fear. We can leave our guns at home and just go walk through City Park in the evening. I'm not convinced, Mayor Hancock. Anyway, ironically enough, the officer who was killed was originally from Detroit, and she thought she had escaped, but she came to Denver and was shot and killed in a senseless, brutal crime that's a result of gross mismanagement at the governmental level, at the educational level, and at the spiritual level. Yep, it's a failure of the governor, it's a failure of the mayor, but it's also a failure of you and I, the people, and a failure of the church. A failure of church leadership to put the fear of God into people. You know, it's like this Catholic priest. I told him he's derelict in his duties because he was removing me for collecting signatures while he was letting a strung-out bum sleep in the garden where he had thrown my children out of. The whole world seems a little bit upside down, and so sometimes I get a little testy about it. And now we've got the mayor, Michael Hancock, asking us to pray. How hypocritical can you be, Mayor Hancock, when you support, endorse, and regulate the murder of innocent people every day within the bounds of your city? And then you have the temerity to ask me to pray? Anyway, I'm not buying it, Hancock, or Hickenlooper, but a terribly sad story. And that's reason 750 that I don't like jazz. That's just another reason. All right. Now, let me see if I have any more uplifting, inspirational stories, because that one was a bit of a downer. Let's see here, man. That's really not. I don't really have much else that's uplifting and inspirational. But here's one that is at least instructive. We all remember Jerry Sandusky, correct? He's been in the news lately. Well, he's been convicted of 45 counts of, I don't even like to say that kind of stuff. He's been convicted, and apparently he's been sent off to prison or jail awaiting sentencing. Well, an inmate at the facility where Jerry Sandusky was taken after his conviction, he told reporters that he and other prisoners sang to Jerry Sandusky as he entered the facility. Uh-huh. They sang to him. They serenaded him with well-known lyrics from a Pink Floyd song. Are you familiar with this, the Pink Floyd? By the way, which one's pink? Anyway, if you're familiar. So they were singing to him, "Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone." Yeah, Jerry's going to have a rough time in jail. According to this report from CBS in Cleveland, Mr. Sandusky is being held alone in a separate cell reportedly designated for sex offenders and other prisoners with mental illnesses. But he is still visible to other inmates, and they apparently are mocking him with their singing. When the lights go out at night, they're serenading Mr. Sandusky. Let's see. Do I have anything more from this story? I found guilty of 45 counts of. Mr. Sandusky is expected to be sentenced to more than 400 years in prison. if you just want to be ridiculous. Yeah. So if they took him out of his cell, his designated child molester cell, he would last approximately 40 seconds in jail. Because, I mean, even if you're a thief or a drug dealer or you're guilty of embezzlement, you still have a hard time fighting down the urge to beat child molesters to death with your bare hands. You don't have to be a good person to want to personally beat to death a convicted child molester. Doesn't necessarily make you a good person. It does indicate that your heart's in the right place, though. Anyway, Jerry Sandusky, leave those kids alone. Disturbing. You know what's really disturbing about the Sandusky story to me? Is that when I look at the face of Jerry Sandusky, I see America's grandpa. He looks like your grandpa or my grandpa. I mean, he's America's grandpa. And grandpas are supposed to be safe. They're supposed to be protective. A grandpa is someone you run and jump on and you hug. But what's happened to America, grandpa is a child molester. Very disturbing to look into the eyes of Jerry Sandusky and see America's grandpa. All right, and how did we get here? Well, a number of failings have led to this and a number of misunderstandings. Let's go to WorldNet Daily. There's a publishing house called Lifeway Christian Resources, and they publish Bibles. Yeah. And they had been given authorization to use the official seals of the various branches of the U.S. military, the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, the Marines. No government funds were used in the production of the Bibles, but each Bible had the seal of, say, the Army or the Navy. And they had devotional material unique to each service branch in much the same way Bibles are often tailored to other groups like teenagers or young kids. So Lifeway Christian Resources, through their B&H Publishing Division, they began producing these Bibles. Let's see, when did all this... Oh, this is neat here. Some of the features in these military Bibles, the Pledge of Allegiance, the first and fourth verses of the Star-Spangled Banner, and George Patton's famous Christian prayer card from 1944, as well as various testimonials from the Officers Christian Fellowship, which is a group of military officers who are Christians. And they fellowship together, and they publish stuff. And anyway, pretty nifty idea. You know, if you're in a foxhole, it's nice to have a Bible. Well, last year, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation sent a letter to Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. Oh, excuse me. Whenever I say that, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, I have to spit. Well, first I have to choke down a little bile, and then I have to spit. It just leaves a weird taste in my mouth. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation sent a letter to Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta demanding the military rescind its authorization to use the service emblems, saying it was a clear violation of church and state separation. The request by this group of heathens was subsequently granted by Mr. Panetta, shockingly enough. Leon Panetta said, yeah, we won't let the Bible publishers use our military emblems anymore. Now, the folks over at Lifeway Christian Resources were told they'd be able to sell their existing stock of these military Bibles. But last week it was announced that the Department of Defense was pulling all known copies of the Bibles from any PX, any BX, on any military base. They won't appear on any ship. They will be disappeared, these military insignia-laden Bibles. And so we have a quote from the founding heathen filth of the Foundation for Military Religious Catastrophe, Freedom Foundation. Let's see, what's his name? So the head of this group is named Mikey Weinstein. Mikey Weinstein, that sounds Jewish. So what's this guy got a problem with the Bible? He's a Jewish guy. You know, it's like, why do Americans get so freaked out about moral issues? You know, the Europeans make fun of us because our politicians get caught up in these adulterous scandals and we actually care. It's because in America, we actually have a history of some moral fabric. Europe, I mean, they lost it centuries ago. They're completely oblivious to right and wrong and good and evil and all that. And that's why they will be ruled by the Muslims in my generation, I believe, in my lifetime. But what was the point of that? Oh, Mikey Weinstein. So when an American goes bad, people notice it because Americans have had the potential to be good. And some of us have actually been good in the past. You know, you think of George Washington. I mean, that's a pretty good guy. So when an American politician goes bad, we still notice here. But when an American goes bad, they tend to go really, really bad. I mean, outrageously bad. Jerry Sandusky comes to mind. And here, Mikey Weinstein comes from a tradition that actually received the oracles of God, the Jewish tradition, and now he heads up a group to ban Bibles from military bases and ships. What does Mikey have to say? Mikey the Heathen Weinstein. Once again, our foundation has decisively beaten back those who would see the wall separating church and state reduced to rubble. The very fact that the Pentagon, which I call the Pentecostalgon, the Pentecostalgon had allowed for the insignias, the Navy, Army, Marine Corps, and Air Force to be used for such a clearly evangelical fundamentalist agenda should sicken anyone with any inkling of respect for the sacred principle of religious freedom as enshrined by the foundational documents of our nation, namely the U.S. Constitution. Completely delusional maniac. Has anyone checked this guy for bath salts? I think he's having weird visions. Anyway, now the group, what's the name of this group? Again, we want to have this. We want everyone to remember this for Judgment Day. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation and Mikey Weinstein. They claim they're not an atheist organization and that many of their members are Christians. But he does admit that the group is opposed to evangelical Christianity. He says, we're fighting a fundamentalist Christian parachurch military corporate proselytizing complex. Beware the fundamentalist Christian parachurch military proselytizing complex. Additionally, the group says placing service logos on Bibles is a national security threat because it might offend the Muslims. Yes, certainly don't want to do that. And finally, Mikey Weinstein and his group claim that they have no problem with other Bibles being sold. He says the Bible by itself is fine to be sold. It's like the Catholic priest telling me I'm welcome to stand on the public sidewalk. Mr. Weinstein, I want to thank you for your blessing, you filthy, unwashed heathen, in allowing us to at least still sell Bibles, maybe even on military bases. Thank you very much, Mr. Weinstein. All right, that's it. We're at the end of the show, folks. Go to Personhood Colorado. Get your personhood petition. We've only got a few weeks left. Bob will be back tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, Lord willing. Yeah. And until then, I want to remind you all to go to KGOV.com and do right and risk the consequences.